In the fifth aliyah of Parshas Beshalach, we are introduced to the Mun. And the Mun has tremendous significance in Jewish history. The Mechilta tells us, Lo nitna Torah el ochle haman, that the Torah had to be given to the generation of those who ate the Mun. Rav Elia Baruch Finkel explained that there are at least two associations here between the Torah itself and the consumption of the Mun. One is that this represents a type of eating that is Bikdusha, that has a level of holiness that is distinct from natural food, and therefore it elevated the process of eating, which is part of the whole purpose of the Torah, to sanctify the mundane and to bring Kedusha into the physical. So therefore the man represents that. In addition to that, this is an exercise in bitachon, in faith, and that attribute is crucial for the pursuit of Torah. So therefore the process that they went through in ingraining this emuna in themselves made them worthy of receiving the Torah and ready to do so. And the Torah here in Perek Tazayin Pasuk Dalet refers to the man as lechem, as bread. It's a type of bread that is clearly of a different nature, as the Ramban talks about. This comes from on high, from the Elyonim, and this is what the angels partake of also. And it's for that reason that it was possible for the Jews to taste whatever they wanted to in man, because the nature of the interaction was the soul directly connecting through the machshava, and therefore whatever taste they were interested in, they were able to perceive in the man. So that being the case, both the understanding of the man as lechem of some sort and the idea that it provided all these different tastes are relevant to a discussion that many Sfarim have, the question of what bracha should be recited on the man. Rabbeinu Bachya assumes later on in Pasuk Chaf Beis that they did make a bracha before and after. Chazal tell us, the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Lamed Hey, that it's forbidden to be nene from this world without a bracha, so presumably there was a applicability of a bracha here. One suggestion the Emes has, quoted in the Pardes Yosef, that whatever taste they felt in the man, that was the associated bracha that was recited, which is a somewhat surprising idea. The Pardes Yosef himself suggests that if that's the case, maybe that's a reason not to make a bracha, because perhaps the one eating it will change his mind to a different taste, and therefore the original bracha will become irrelevant, similar to the position of the Rashba, that no bracha is recited on staka, because the recipient may choose to refuse the gift. So there are other suggestions as to what the bracha should be. The author of the Kli Chemda, Sefer Chemdas Yisrael, had the unusual suggestion that it should be a Bari Pri Hadama. Others assume that the language used should be lechem, as the Torah calls it lechem. The question is how exactly to compose it. The Chai Adam, who really assumed that the only bracha that was relevant was a bracha afterwards, asserted that if there was a bracha, it certainly was not the traditional Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. So a few other candidates exist. The Ramami Panu suggested that the bracha was Hamotzi Lechem in Hashamayim, while Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and Sefer Chassidim had the formulation of Hanosein Lechem min Hashamayim, and the Tshuvas Torah Lishma had Hamamtir Lechem min Hashamayim. Rene Yisaschar had a different approach to this, and he suggested that there was no need for a bracha, because the purpose of a bracha on a spiritual level is to separate out the spiritual waste, the psoles, and in the case of the man, there was no psoles. He also noted that the language of the Gemara is Hanena miolam hazeh below bracha, one who benefits from this world without a bracha is considered as if he is stealing, and the man was not from this world. It was really a taste of olam haba, literally, and therefore the consumption was not considered to be nana me'olam hazeh. But that's all regarding the first bracha. There is a relevance here to benching, because the Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Mem Ches that when Moshe saw the man, he took that opportunity to author the first bracha of Birchas Hamazon, the Birchas Hazan. And that's a little bit of a question why that should be, in addition to the fact that the man itself didn't seem to qualify, not being one of the Chamisha Minei Dagon, but it is called Lechem, so that's a question whether Berachas HaMazon would really apply to it. But it's also not the first time that Klal Yisrael was sustained or that Klal Yisrael ate. So why should it be that Moshe took this opportunity specifically to write the bracha? So the Mabit understands that this was such a miraculous event, Moshe was concerned that it was only coming in his merit and wouldn't continue after he was no longer around. So therefore, he created this bracha, which beseeches HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continuously provide for his people. Rav Nachum Meir Brusnik, who wrote a sefer on Berachas HaMazon, he notes that the Gemara Maseches Yuma and Daf Ayin Hey Yom Aleph, which has a lot to say about the man, says that the Jews before this didn't have any kvias, didn't have any formality to their eating, and would just hunt around for food, whatever they could find, to sustain themselves. And at this point, Moshe instituted the concept of having set meals and having kvias, and we know that Berachas HaMazon in many ways is associated not simply with snacking, but with kvias, with a established meal, and therefore perhaps if this was the time when that concept became observed, so then it's appropriate time for Berachas HaMazon to be instituted. It could also be suggested that the first bracha mentioned specifically focuses on the relationship between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is very much represented by the man. The fact that the man only came in portions of one day at a time was a bracha, because even though it required constantly waiting for the next one, but that itself reflects an ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara notes that the opposite relationship is reflected in the curse of the Nachash in Parshas Bereishis, where he's told that he will eat dirt, which seems to be a good thing because dirt is always available. But the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want nothing else to do with you. You don't have to ask me or pray to me for food because it'll always be there. And here the Jews have the opposite kind of relationship, that they have to wait every day for the man to be provided for them, this ongoing connection to God. And that itself is the theme of the first bracha of Berachas HaMazon, and therefore perhaps another reason why it's an appropriate time for it to come into be, for it to be authored. In Pasuk Hey, we find instructions here about what to do for Shabbos, and the language is V'haya b'yom hashishi v'hechinu es asher yaviu. You should prepare for Shabbos, that which is going to be brought. And some of the Rishonim understand that this is a source for the concept of muktzah. Even though we assume la halacha that muktzah is a din derabanan, there were some in the Gemara and perhaps others who thought that there was a notion of muktzah in HaTorah. But even without that, it can be assumed that this is an asmachta, as the Ramban explains in his commentary to Abetza in the Melchamas Hashem, that there is a asmachta here, that there is a rabbinical connection to the notion of the rabbinical prohibition of muktzah. Nonetheless, even if it's dim derabanan and not min haTorah, so some raise the question that it's not clear what connection this pasuk has to the concept of muktzah. It sounds like from the Gemara that muktzah was instituted in order to prevent accidental carrying on Shabbos, to prevent hotzah. The Rambam has a few additional reasons, but how this connects to v'hechinu es asher yaviu isn't obviously clear. So there are some who suggest, the Chayadim and the Prima Gadim, that the idea of this being an asmachta to the concept of muktzah is not there to say this is a source for muktzah, but rather it helps to define the parameters of muktzah. And the idea is that once we have a concept of muktzah, whether it's because of avoiding carrying or any other motivation, but we also need to understand what is and what isn't muktzah. So the concept of preparing something for Shabbos is what keeps something from being muktzah, and therefore the association is on that level. The pasuk in Pasuk Ches has Moshe Rabbeinu together with Aaron responding to the complaints of the Jewish people, and they say, "V'nachnu ma? What are we? We're nothing." And in the Sefer Ber Yosef, he suggests that this may connect to another idea we find in Chazal, that the man itself came in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he points to this pasuk as a connection. In the next Aliyah, we will find the Jewish people perplexed as to what the man is, and they say, "Manhu, what is this?" And there's a similarity here to what's being stated here, "V'nachnu ma, what are we?" Here Moshe is conveying his humility and saying that he's nothing, but we know that it covers up the fact that he was the greatest. And so too, when it comes to the man didn't seem like anything. It wasn't something that they could identify. But that concealed the fact that indeed the man was the greatest food anyone could ask for and had this potential to serve all of their needs.